What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
I do believe that this is a first, I think. Season 1 last year, I was traveling a little bit, and I think we did some podcasts when I was away, but we are off and running in episode 2. Victoria is in Los Angeles in California, and you're heading to Los Angeles at some point today, if I have that correct.
Anyway. Right now I'm in San Ynez wine country, so we're right. About 3 hours north of LA.
Okay.
So we're just basically drinking barrels and barrels of wine. My right. spouse and I are on holiday. We're having a lovely time.
Yeah.
So just maybe we'll release that disclaimer right now because it's quite
That's what I was getting at. The fact is she's getting up and she did this with me. She's doing this with me early Pacific time. So that's my point. I appreciate you. And here we go. Season 2, episode 2, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, back on Pucks and 7. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Matiash, and also get us on Instagram at PatesRP and at Matiash Victoria. Follow us too wherever you get your podcasts, also on the SiriusXM app. We're only 2 nights in. We wanted to get into this thing because we did a bit of a preview last time. Only 2 nights in. Some games have been played, some storylines already in play, not just on the ice, but off the ice as well. So let's get things going. First segment. With Connor Bedard. Debut Tuesday, Kelly Sutherland came to the center ice dot. He said, Sid, hey, welcome back for another season. Connor, welcome to the NHL, man. Let's have a good game. I thought that was so neat, Vic, and he was off and running. He looked very good in game 1.
He looks completely comfortable. He looked good in game 1 and game 2. He looks comfortable out there. Yeah. It was interesting because I think everybody is a little nervous for the guy because there has been. I don't remember a time where a prospect has come into the league and there's been so much attention on them. This has been unusual. And I know we all talked about McDavid when he came into the league and everybody was focused on Austin.
So you think
Matthews.
This is different then? So you this think feels, this is different
feels,
than McDavid?
This okay. feels more amped up to me. I think okay. they interviewed him 5 or 6 times during that game.
No, I know. Yeah, I know.
I don't
I know.
Ever remember that happening before. And I do think it's great for the league. I just think the maternal side of me worries about the youngster a bit because he's right. just turned 18. He is a kid
yeah.
still. And that's a lot of pressure. I'm not worried about him playing the game. He already looks like one of the best players on the ice. Yeah. His shot, his stick handling, his vision, his skating, it's already up there. I'm more concerned about how he's handling it mentally.
And
I think it looks okay so far.
Yeah. And here's what I will say about that. He has been, I remember, and I always will remember this anytime somebody like a Bedard comes into the game or anyone even down the road who is this hyped up 17-year-old, 18-year-old that comes into the NHL and has all the hype. I remember Sidney Crosby when he came in. That was a lot of hype, but he was going through how to talk to the media when he was about 12 or 13, something like that. So Connor Bedard, I'm with you with this. This is a big deal, and he's still a kid, but he seems like he's fit in right away. I do believe that he has, and I think in this day and age, it's really important to have a really solid group around you, not just teammates, but off the ice, family, friends, trainers. Doesn't matter who it is. Even talk to whoever if you need to. It is so important, and I loved how after the first game, when he was asked about, oh, you know, were you okay about Letang roughing you up a bit and pushing you around? And he said, did he? Really? Oh, I didn't know that. And I thought it was excellent because a lot of guys on Pittsburgh were kind of giving him the bumps and saying, hey, welcome to the big leagues, kid. But at the end of the day, I think he'll be fine. It's only a couple games. He got his first goal on the wraparound against Boston. That was great. But we want to touch on Taylor Hall because that line looked pretty good, but it's not going to be that way for a little bit now.
No, unfortunately, Taylor Hall is now listed week to week after taking a, I mean, they're calling it an upper body injury. Anybody who saw the hit is going to realize he was, Brendan Carlo smacked him in the head.
Yeah.
And wasn't called on the ice, probably should have been interference. The puck was nowhere near, that's not true. The puck was near both of them, but neither one of them had possession of it or were about to have possession of it. So it's unfortunate. He came out for one more shift after that, and then he went over, and he's a veteran, and he realized he didn't feel right. So they yanked him. Smart move. But the fact that they're calling it week to week is unfortunate because that line was starting to look already. Ryan Donato is going to score 80 points.
Oh, he is. Oh, he is.
Because of the company he's keeping on that top line. So Luke Richardson is going to have to do some fiddling there. And that is unfortunate. A lot of people were really excited about Taylor Hall playing with Connor Bedard. So I'm hoping that this is more like a week and not weeks. And we see him back on the ice soon. But headshots, you're not going to mess around. We've learned way too much that that's not something you roll the dice with. I'm going to one more comment on the Bedard thing. And it was excellent, excellent article by Mark Lazarus in The Athletic about how Foligno and Corey Perry are in place to make sure that he handles matters off the ice. Nobody is worried about how he's going to be on the ice.
Right.
But in terms of partying after games, you know, you're not going to go cuckoo bananas when you have a night off in Nashville or Vegas or these places. And they're already taking more of a father figure approach and just protecting him a little bit because he's not keen. It doesn't sound like he's a party guy.
No,
he takes care of his body and all the rest of it. And they're just, you know, there's a buffer there now because of that veteran leadership. And I thought it was an excellent article. If you subscribe to The Athletic, I highly recommend it.
It's a nice cushion. You've got one on this side and one on that side. And I'm with you. He does not seem like anybody to go out and do that. And boy, times have changed, right? I mean, 18, 19 coming in, you're McDavid, Matthews, Jack Eichel, Connor, Sydney, whatever it is. Years and years ago, oh my gosh, we're going to New York, going to MSG, going to the Garden. Oh, let's go out. That doesn't happen anymore. These guys are so in tune, and women too, playing hockey and all the sports. They're so in tune with their bodies. Now, there's some, of course, that do the whatever thing that they do. That's fine.
Well, people are still having a couple of beers here and there,
of course,
for sure. But it's not the benders they were in the 80s.
That's what I mean. Yeah, right? Not the benders. And again, like we talked last time, you know, having a cigarette in the locker room between intermissions, things like that. Things have changed. Speaking of headshots, again, the NHL, I think, is doing as best they can. Brett Howden suspended 2 games for that hit on Brandon Tanev. That was a bad one. Blindside to the head. Tanev went down in that game. Seattle did not look good. Vegas did, but I don't. I think we kind of picked the crack and take a big step back. Anyway, to the point, 2 things. One with that, right thing to do. First game out of the gate for both those teams and not a good look at all, but that's part of hockey, unfortunately. But the bigger thing is Seattle. I know it's only one game, and I know what they did last season. I was on them in a good way. Everybody was on them saying this is an amazing story. But I'm not saying one game is any indication of how the season's going to go. But I can guarantee you this. It's not going to go like it did last year.
No, and I thought they looked sloppy out there. Yeah. No, I thought a lot of teams look sloppy. And you're not going to panic
in
game
rust.
1, 2, 3.
No.
Maybe you start to panic in game 9, 10, 11 if you're not getting it together defensively. But I didn't think the Kraken looked very good in their opener at all. So we shall see.
Indication, a sign of things to come, I think. Tuesday, again, back on those 3 games that did happen. The Preds, they fell 5-3 to Tampa. I thought Tampa looked good. Of course, Vasilevsky, not really a factor because he's not playing. But hey, a win's a win. Chicago got by Pittsburgh 4-2. And then we mentioned Vegas defeating the Kraken by that score of 4-1. 6 games were on Wednesday. Boy, the Canadians and Maple Leafs, that was a real defensive gem, wasn't it?
I think both teams were rather disgusted with themselves after that one. I watched most of that, and it was entertaining.
It was.
I mean, you're not going to jump all over Brody for when he fell down. I mean, stuff is happening. You're shaking off the rest of
him. He had a tough game.
He didn't.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't just him falling. And I've said this the last couple of seasons. I was texting a buddy of mine and he was saying, what's going on? I said, look, you can't really, it's a gaffe. You tripped under whatever. It's fine. It happens. But I just see that TJ Brody, he's a stay at home guy. He's an okay defenseman, but he's having trouble keeping up. He had trouble last year. So anyway, to your point, You can't really blame anything on the first game, but not a good look for him.
Well, when Austin Matthews scores a hat trick in the opener, and
he loves opening nights, right?
He certainly comes out with a bang, that's for sure. But his comments after the game are more focused on how sloppy they were defensively, even though they got away with the win. I think that's very indicative of how that game went. It was entertaining. Both teams, I think Montreal is going to struggle again defensively. So I think we're going to see that more from Montreal than we will see that from the Maple Leafs. I think the Maple Leafs are going to tighten up quite a bit, but it certainly was entertaining. That's for sure. No question. I thought John Tavares looked really good in that game, by the way.
I did too.
I thought he looked really fit.
I absolutely did as well. He kind of, you know, anyone coming into camp before the first game, it's all the expectations, you're fresh and you can't wait to do it. But I heard some of the comments that he said before the game, and I don't know, there was something just different about him. I know there's 81 more games to go, that's fine. But he looked very good.
He looks strong.
Yeah, he does. He looks strong. Chicago, Bedard got his first goal. They lost to Boston 3-1. What about the Avalanche? Boy, we had the Avalanche going. I think you had them winning that division. I have Dallas winning the division. We did that in our preview show. 5-2, McKinnon, McCarr, Rantanen, you name it. It's game one, fine. But still, nice storylines coming out for Colorado.
4 points from Mikko Rantanen. Yeah. 2 goals, 2 assists. Now, I have him winning the Rocket. But maybe talking about the Art Ross as well. Yeah, I do. I picked him.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
I picked him, and the Avalanche, again, look really strong. We're not going, like you just said, Ryan, we can't jump all over this. It's one game.
No.
But when you're watching a game like that one, there's one team that just looked better the entire time. Mm-hmm. And that was the Avalanche. And I think that's the greater concern than the numbers on the scoreboard after game one. So we're going to see how that evolves over time, but they look fantastic right out of the gates.
I'm not surprised. We're not surprised. Now, Rantanen's not going to put up 4 points every single night. That's fine.
No.
No, I don't think he. Hey, fantasy people. Okay. So pick him, drop everybody else, pick him, and you'll be absolutely fine.
Well, that's a good segue into the Vancouver game because Brock Besser isn't going to score 4 goals.
Are you kidding? And listen. Yeah. A couple,
you have to be happy for the guy.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
You have to be happy for the guy. He has had a rough road in so many different ways, family-wise, contract-wise, pressure on him on ice-wise, fan pressure-wise, all of it. And to come out and erupt for 4 right out of the gates, Edmonton was awful in that game.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter. Yeah. He came out and erupted 4 goals, and it was really nice to see.
He didn't score in the first 11 games to begin last season. And he ended up with only 18, the lowest ever. So now let's see, he has 4. He needs 14 more to go in order to equal last year. And there's 81 more games. I'm with you. It is a real nice thing for us to see that and for him to do that, even though it was game one. 8-1. Vancouver, are they the best in the West? Is that what we're
talking about? No, it's not.
But kidding.
Did you watch that game? Because
I did.
The Oilers, defensively, and as much as easy as it is to pile on the goaltenders, Jack Campbell and Stuart Skinner, because both of them are horrible, as easy as it is to pile on them, the Oilers were horrible defensively in that game. I don't know what Evan Bouchard was doing the entire time. Evander Kane was a -4.
Right,
I mean, there is just, that was a group effort loss defensively for sure. And you could see it on the faces of the better players on that team that was not good enough.
Jay Woodcroft said we laid an egg. That's what we did. And so what you do is you just move on. 8-1. It was an embarrassment. It was, but still, it's Edmonton. They're going to be absolutely fine. Really nice moment, tough moment. The Snow family. Yeah. The ceremony puck drop before the Flames opener, of course. That's been in the news and really tough to see, but I'm really glad that they did that.
It was not tough to watch. It was beautiful to watch but it was tough to watch at the same time. Mm-hmm. And when you see the family out there, of course, Chris Snow recently passed, famous within the organization. And when you're watching that, even if you're not a Flames fan, you're rooting for the Flames to win that particular game, unless you're a diehard Jets fan, I suppose. Other than that, and it was kind of nice to see them pull it off, because then they'll always remember that as a win. I know there are bigger things in life to concern yourself with, but at the same time, it was a really nice moment, but it was also a tough moment. It was a heart-gripping moment for sure.
Yeah, it was. And good on Calgary. Lindholm had the go-ahead goal. They came back and they won by two. So that's one of the reasons why they won last night or the other night is because it was a two-goal game. It wasn't a one-goal game.
Right.
Because if it was a one-goal... No, I'm kidding.
You think they're
going to be...
an automatic loss if it's a one-goal game?
Automatic. Done. You're done. Guarantee you this team and just look, just watch them and they'll be absolutely fine when they continue on this season. 81 more games to go. Lots more coming up too later on this week. Tampa Bay. I think we just mentioned a little bit about Tampa Bay as well. That was a good start. Sidney Crosby too. I think the Penguins... We talked about Chicago in the opening game, but I did like how much oomph the Penguins had in that opening game against Chicago.
Yeah. I'm concerned about the goaltending.
You're hesitant. Okay.
I'm concerned about the goaltending again. So we'll see how the goaltending works out over time. I still think Erik Karlsson has got to figure out how he fits in there a little bit because it's still now it's for real. And I thought there was a little bit of sloppiness here and there defensively for them also.
Yeah.
But I'm mostly worried about the goaltending. I want to talk about Pittsburgh in 2 months and see where they're at and see how they're managing in net. That's my biggest concern with that team.
Okay. Other game, Carolina knocked off the Sens 5-3. Yep. No surprise. That's many people's minds. Carolina is going to be one of, if not the teams, certainly at the end for that Eastern Conference going to that Stanley Cup. Anyway, a bunch of more games to come. It's week one. Not looking ahead to any of these teams thinking, okay, they're going to be this, they're going to be that. And that's a big debate for me, not just in hockey, but in any sport. You have that opening week. And a lot of, to a man, the players, if they aren't playing as well, they will probably say, look, we're trying to get used to each other again. Totally understand it. It's not like it's baseball spring training where it's 5 years and then they actually start the season. No, it's not. You have, and hockey's a little bit faster than I think baseball last time I checked. So there, I'm not putting any stock into anything, but what I do think a lot of these teams too, and it kind of caught my eye last night and even the night before, a lot of changes with teams over the course of the offseason. And I know this happens every offseason, but it's going to be interesting in the first month to see how quickly some of these teams can actually adapt and acclimate to each other. And then if they do quick enough, then we're going to see them by the time the end of October hits, even mid-November, that they're going to be in the 1-2 spot, I think, in each division. And then we'll have a really good... Because isn't an American Thanksgiving that's kind of
that's
the time frame?
That's sort of
the loose time frame when people have an idea as to what team
they
argues.
Have. Is it 10 games? Is it 20 games? Is it 30 games? And I think the American Thanksgiving mark is reasonable enough because they have enough games under their belts or under their socks, I suppose, to you get an idea of what's going on there. So again, nobody's hitting any panic buttons, but what would you say to wrap this segment? What would you say, let's outside of Connor Bedard, because obviously that was the story of opening week, of the first couple of opening nights. What gave you the biggest impression? Like, what are you taking away? For me, for instance, it's Edmonton's defense. That's what I'm thinking about after the first couple of days. Again, outside of Connor Bedard, because that was the story.
Right.
But the Oilers' defense really, really, really looked bad to me. And it's fine. Can you iron that out quickly? That's my concern. So what's yours? What was your biggest impression?
That's a good concern too, by the way, because Edmonton, they can score. And are we going to kind of see games where Edmonton's going to be like they're playing in the 80s, winning 8-5? I know they lost 8-1, but is that kind of what we're going to be seeing? And then Campbell's numbers inflated, Skinner's numbers inflated. My thing, and it's probably the most obvious thing, Connor Bedard is ridiculously good. And he, talk about adapting. I just the poise on the ice that he has, the slick moves that he has. He had so many shots in that opening game. And I know everyone will say he's good. Yes, that's fine. But I don't know. There's something about him. Every 10 years or something, in my mind, we get kind of these players. And to your point, I think he hit the nail on the head. There's something different about this. I know McDavid's different too, and Crosby back then, and Lindros going all the way, and Gretzky and Lemieux. We can go on and on and on. But there is something different about him. And the excitement level around him, that's kind of what caught me. And the excitement level is not going to stop. It may diminish a tiny bit, but we're still going to be like this in game 82 for Chicago.
He just needs to work on his face-offs a little bit.
Right. Someone tweeted out after the opening face-off when he lost to Crosby, a guy, and he was joking. And it was a fun joke. He said, oh, should we be concerned? He's 0-for-1. I'm like, oh, yeah. No, don't be concerned. But That's right. If someone can take his face-offs, then he'll be just fine.
Or he just needs to, he needs his reps, to get better. Because I think the first game, I don't have the stat in front of me, so it's going to be wrong, but I think it was like 2-for-17 or something.
It was bad.
But we're nitpicking now because he's amazing. I always think of it this way. My friends who are lesser hockey fans, they'll watch it here and there, but they're not, you know, paying attention every single night. And when they sit there and they're watching it with me and they go, who's that guy?
Right.
That's when you know.
Right.
It's somebody.
Yeah.
Who's just better. And that happened. A friend of mine was watching, not this week, but beforehand, who's that guy? And Connor Bedard was obviously that guy.
Right? You have the it factor when that happens. A lot of news off the ice that we're going to get to after this break. Buffalo extending a couple of their young defensemen. That team, again, watch out for them. Lindy Ruff extended too. And also we'll dive into Barry Melrose and the gay pride tape discussion. And here's my question to you, Vic, before we hit the break. Can we lose the shootout already? Ryan Payton.
You're already annoyed?
Oh, my gosh. Don't even get me going. Well, you will after this. Ryan Payton, Victoria Maddiash, Bucks and Seven. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Maddiash.
It's into the second segment of the second show of season two, and we already had a great discussion in the break, and I think I said this a number of times last season. I want to put together a full episode of just the things we talk about in the break and how well you're doing in this podcast at this point as you're on vacation. We'll leave it at that.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yes.
I'm on vacation.
You're on vacation. But
I drank
still
a lot of red wine yesterday. We can just say that.
Of course.
Out
loud. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're in wine country. Why not?
I am in wine country.
Absolutely. Yes. And you're back at it again today. Ryan Payton, Victoria Maddiash, Pucks and Seven. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Maddiash, and also on Instagram at PatesRP and at Maddiash Victoria. We're available wherever you get your podcasts, also on the Sirius XM app. We'll get to some news involving Lindy Ruff, the Buffalo Sabres. Talk about again just a little bit about the pride tape discussion that came up again, and also send our thoughts and have some discussion about Barry Melrose. The shootout. End it. I'm done with it after night two, and it didn't matter to me if it was Montreal and Toronto. The shootout just is not something I care about, and I cared about it probably for the first few months. When did it come back? Or when did it start again? I can't even remember. That's how much I don't really care about
it. It was only a handful of years ago. It wasn't that long ago.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah.
You're not winning this argument. The NHL is not getting rid of it.
I'm not talking to the NHL. I'm talking to you.
I don't like that.
Yeah. I'm not talking to the NHL is not. But my point is, and then you have commentators and people as time goes on. Yeah, that's fine. You get to the shootout. But hockey's not a one-on-one sport. Hockey is a team game. Team games should be decided as a team. They should not be decided one-on-one. You could have a team, I think I've said this a number of times last season, say it was 1-0 for Edmonton and they were playing Vegas. Vegas tied it up. Campbell and Skinner made 55 saves and they were lights out. But then you get to the shootout and they had a bad 2-3 and then they lose the game, a game that they did not deserve to lose. They could have played, do five more minutes, do a break and then five more. And then if it doesn't go, I know you've got games to come up later on. I feel like I'm dropping the clink hammer, but I'm not. You have games to come later on in the night. But I want to see them play more. I want to see 3-on-3. Especially with any of the 32 teams, I want to see it. Anyway.
You don't need to preach to me. You know I feel exactly the same way. But
well,
I also
just preached to you.
I also like, I'm fine with a tie. Remember ties? I thought ties were all right.
Yeah, I
was fine with ties. And I love the incentive of how they run things in European soccer that you get 3 points for a win, you get 1 point for a tie. So the incentive is there in the extra inning, the extra period.
It's okay. Baseball's still going on. Baseball's not done.
Oh, goodness. In the extra period, there is the incentive there to get the 3 points because 3 points is far more significant than 1 point, right?
Yeah.
So I would be absolutely fine with that. I'm fine with a tie. I don't like the shootout. I'm with you. I also don't like 3-on-3. I think it looks ridiculous. So you're either playing the game or you're not playing the game.
So what about 4-on-4 then? What about
I don't mind 4-on-4 as much because that actually happens during the game.
I know it does.
It's not that much of an anomaly. Whereas 3-on-3 is just, that's what I played with my friends when I was a kid. It's not National Hockey League hockey.
Yeah.
So.
the hot stove that I do on the weekends with Dennis Bernstein, who you are going to go and see on your trip out in California and in LA, and Dave Pagnotta, we send out our predictions. So Dave texted me on Monday, or I think Tuesday morning, before we sent them out before game one. And he said, do you want to change the biggest name to be traded? And I said, yeah, probably it's a good idea because Connor Hellebuck signed that extension. So I did change it. I changed it to John Gibson just to let everybody know. Anyway, surprised. I really was with this. Scheifele and Hellebuck both to 7-year deals at 8.5 AAV, identical contracts. I did not see this coming.
Nobody did. No. Nobody beat reporters in Winnipeg didn't see this coming. We were subjected to the rumblings for months and months and months, dating back to last season comfortably, that these were two players like Blake Wheeler, like Dubois, who wanted out of Winnipeg. The sentiment felt very similar. And you were just expecting it was going to be a distraction all season long. And at some point, they were going to move at least one of them. I wasn't sure that they were going to move both. But you felt that they were going to move at least one of them.
Yes.
Or this is going to take more time because neither one of these players ever came out and said, I want to play here. They actually said quite the opposite, or at least hinted towards the opposite, that they wanted to go somewhere else and win a cup. And they didn't feel that maybe Winnipeg was the best place to win a cup. And then all of a sudden they come out together smiling. Well, we think we're going to win a cup here. So we're signing to play pretty much the rest of their careers in Winnipeg, unless of course they get dealt down the road.
Yeah.
But I think that took everybody by surprise, not just you. I was wondering if you were going to admit it out loud on here, and you did. Good for you. So, you weren't.
I can own it. I own it.
You definitely weren't alone in that.
No.
Let's just put it that way. But I do like it for the Jets organization because now it's done.
Yeah.
Top centers don't grow on trees. Number one goaltenders that play to the quality.
Is Scheifele a top center?
I think he still is, yes.
We do.
I think he still is. Okay. Well, I mean, he is on this team, right? Well,
yes, so. Right. Every team needs a top. Okay. I don't think you put down a list of all the top centers, he's not anywhere close.
But he's a team's top center.
Yes, yes.
Okay. They don't grow on trees.
No, I know.
And now the fact that both of them are recommitted to this, they're recommitted to winning, the distraction is gone. If I'm a fan of the Winnipeg Jets, I'm really happy that this got resolved. Even if maybe you didn't want, first of all, you want Hellebuck to be your goaltender. I don't think there's any question of that. But even if maybe you didn't want Mark Scheifele to re-sign, at least it's taken care of. The distraction is over. It's, again, we're all very surprised by it, but it's done. And now they can just play hockey.
Yeah, both at 30. So when the contracts kick in next season, 8.5 each, that'll take him to one of 37. Actually, probably 38 because I assume that they're going to both turn 31 at some point over the course of this season. Also, too, Buffalo Sabres. No surprise with this one. You knew that this was going to happen. So you go from one that we didn't think was going to happen at all to one. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin. Rasmus Dahlin going to make 11 mil starting in 24-25. Owen Power signing a contract, 8.35 mil. So he jumps, Vic. He's 20. He jumps from the ELC at 916 to 8.35.
It's amazing.
Good on you. Good
but
on you.
They have, I would say, are they the best? They're not the best. Okay, Rasmus Dahlin is a top five defenseman for me. So
a lot of people have him maybe winning the Norris.
I have him officially.
You have him. Okay.
You can check it on ESPN.com. Our predictions are up there. I have him winning the Norris this year. So I don't mind the big bucks for him. And I think once that salary cap rises, because now you're basically investing $20 million. Of your two guys.
Yeah, and it's right? the cap's going up 4.25 next season.
And then it's going to go up again. And then
exactly.
It's going to go up. And in 5 years, it's going to be higher. And these are guys who haven't even peaked yet. And I think they're going to end up being bargoons for the Sabres down. So long as they don't regress, they are going to be huge bargoons for the Sabres down the road. So I like these. And again, I like the fact that it's taken care of. I like the fact that it's resolved. I'm wiping my hands together because now there's no more distraction. There's no more conversations about it. And it's sorted out. And if I'm a Sabres fan, I'm thrilled because these are two top-notch defenders, and now you have them locked in for a very long time.
You want to talk about a contract that's going to look really good in two, three, 4 years, Tage Thompson's contract.
Right. And remember, everybody was like, oh, they're paying him how much?
Uh-huh.
Yep. And even after last year, like, oh, they're not paying him enough.
Nope. So, under 7.2 for the next, I think, seven seasons.
McKinnon contract,
It is.
It's, yeah.
They got Skinner through 6-7, Thompson locked up forever, Dylan Cousins locked up too. And then on the back end, they got Darlene and Power. So look out. Good on the Buffalo. And they're worth the money. They certainly are. And that team is going to be something to reckon with, I think, sooner than later. Last year, they said, fire Lindy Ruff, fire Lindy. And then they said, hire him. They apologized. Lindy Ruff and the Devils had an amazing bounce-back season. Should have won the Jack Adams Award. Anyway, we talked about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
Signed a new extension. Deserving of it. Love to see when this happens to players. Love it to see when it happens to coaches and ones that deserve it.
I get anxiety when things aren't sorted out. So once players and coaches are sorted out, I feel much better about
matters.
It's a good deal. Yeah. It's great for the Devils. There's not much else to say. And again, he deserves it. So especially after last season, Lindy Ruff has been a good coach in the NHL for a long time. So.
He has.
Pay the man. They are paying the man. There you have it.
He was signed through the 23-24 season, so this was the last one, but he's terms of the deal, not disclosed, but he'll be on board for a little bit after that. Okay, just dive in a little bit to this whole gay pride tape discussion that came on. Made the headlines again this week.
I don't want to give any more time to this than maybe 60 seconds. This is all I'm going to say about this. I'm not even going to get into the fact that it's it's disappointing because the league is... considered one of the more progressive professional sports leagues in the world, is now the opposite. I think the NHL is lagging behind. Not even going to get into any of that. I'm not even going to get into the fact that when they made the decision last year to not force players to wear the uniform that they're being paid to wear. Anyway, we're not going to get into that either.
No.
The NHL decided that they're not going to direct players what to do. So they're being steered and they're basically catering to a handful of homophobes. I'm not even going to get into that. What I'm going to get into is the utter hypocrisy of this decision.
Mm-hmm.
So the NHL came out and said, we're not going to force players to do something. And now that's exactly what they're doing. They're forcing them to not do something. It's pure hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And it's horseshit. And I know you don't like swearing, Ryan, but I'm going to swear in this particular case because it is. It's hypocritical horseshit. So telling a player you can't wear rainbow tape, it's just, it's absolutely ludicrous. Listen to me. I love this sport. I love the NHL. I love the league. And I'm disappointed because I feel like it's a family member is letting me down. So that's it. That's all I got. I don't like the hypocrisy. Just leave it at that.
Well said. McDavid, the Stars, coming out saying they don't agree with it. So
I want to see them wear it.
I hope that they do. And if they get fined or if they get suspended, shame again on the league. But they need to do that.
But
I'm
put
with
the
you.
League in that position then.
I know.
And make
I know.
Them make that
you know
call.
What? I think they're going to. I really do. This is I'm going to say it's a players' league. It is at times. This is a huge step back, and it caught me too when I was watching some hockey last night along one of the boards inside Scotiabank. It said hockey is for everyone, and it right away clicked this whole tape thing.
Hypocrisy.
I totally echo what you said. I don't need to say anything more about that. So let's move on.
Disappointing. It's just terribly disappointing. And to come out at the start of the season when we're all ramped up and we're all excited to watch hockey and just being let down again. Just be better, NHL. Be better. You can be.
Exactly. Our thoughts as we close are with former NHL coach and player Barry Melrose. He's been diagnosed with Parkinson's and is retiring. I certainly have done a lot of work in my life with Parkinson's, so I know a lot about that disease. He announced this on Tuesday. One of the big memories I have of Barry Melrose, and you can go into yours because I know you have some too. One of the big ones was when Toronto was playing LA back in '93. And Marty McSorley hit Doug Gilmore, and Wendell Clark went after Marty, and then all this stuff. Pat Burns tried to go after Melrose and whatever it was. And I just remember these few seconds or minutes of him just standing behind the bench or on the bench with his arms crossed, looking at everything that's happening on the ice. Long hair, had the mullet going on. He typified to me that West Coast kind of California, wore the black and the silver and the white suits, all this type of thing. I've enjoyed him as a commentator. I enjoyed him watching him when he was a coach. He's been with ESPN since '96. It's been a long, long time. So certainly our thoughts are to him and his family, his wife, Cindy, and others as well.
He's a colleague of mine of sorts at ESPN. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not sure that he would remember who I am if he hit me with his car, but still, we've been in the same space together. And I can tell you, he's also a wonderful human being.
Right.
So he's pure class. He's got the flair. I'm going to miss him as an analyst. Style, flair, panache, all of those terms. I think the world of hockey analysis is a little lesser, but of course, family comes first, health comes first, all of it comes first. Never mind what anything I have to say. Go and listen to some of the tributes from the other hockey people at ESPN, because they obviously know him so much more than I do. And everybody, to a human being, has nothing but great things to say about him. So again, I'm going to echo your sentiments. We wish him the best.
Here's what Wayne Gretzky said, and we leave it on this. Anytime you leave with something that Gretzky said, it's a good thing. He said in a video tribute for ESPN, he said, he's bigger than any team. For decades, he's been suiting up, and I mean suiting up for the game, for the sport, for hockey. You can see hockey is more than the game. It's a community. It's a finely tuned orchestra. Barry was our conductor. So we wish him the best of luck moving forward. And he has a ton of support, of course, not just from the ESPN family, but the NHL and everybody else, including you and I. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to be back. You enjoy certainly the rest of your time, Vic. Appreciate you doing this. You know what? Wine Country doing a podcast with me. Anyway, I feel the love. I really do. Enjoy it. Say hi to Dennis. So folks, we'll be back too. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Peyton, at Victoria Matiash. Get us on Instagram at Pete's RP, and also at Matty Ash Victoria. We're all over the map when it comes to the podcasts on, Apple, iHeart. The list goes on. Also on the SiriusXM app. On behalf of Vic, I'm Ryan. We'll talk to you next time.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.